Night Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another Thursday night on Paranormal Underground. We are your hosts, Karen Frazier and Rick Hale. And tonight we have a pretty decent show for you guys. We're going to have Jeff Grunow and Barry Doyle from the Great American Phenomenon Hunt back, and they're going to be sharing with us not only some of the stories of what the projects that they're working on, but also they're going to be sharing some EVPs with us as well. Karen, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. So how's your, you weren't on the show last week. How's things going otherwise?
Yeah, last week my son had a band concert, so I was there, and it was in the middle school and the high school, and that was a long time to sit on really hard benches, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. So, but hey, and then the week before I had Chinese food, I think, didn't I? And I had to leave mid-show. Wasn't that what happened? Was that like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I think so.
It seems like so long ago now. It's hard to remember. So, hey, Bert posted pictures on Facebook just a few minutes ago of Wellington without snow.
Oh, really? Oh, is all that cleared up now? So, I mean, it's like would be safe to go up there and not die in a horrible avalanche?
The main road is still snowed in, but the back road and Wellington itself look like they're pretty clear of snow. So, okay. So if you know the back way in, I think it's good to go. So I'm excited about that. I'm ready to get up and get a little Wellington therapy. We've been away too long.
Yeah, I always feel that way about my favorite haunted place, Bachelor's Grove on the south side of Chicago. That's always been my favorite haunted place. But I was telling you guys before we before we started the show that I'm actually trying to get the Big Ragu, Tony Olszewski, the founder of MCPRG, to allow me to post some pictures on paranormalunderground.net, just so people will stop thinking that yours truly is a fraud. So,
who says you're a fraud?
I'm joking.
Oh, I was going to say I do, but I didn't realize that the rumor had caught on and spread.
No, so yeah, so I'm going to, hopefully he'll let me do it. And there's a picture from our last investigation that we just wrapped up last Saturday. And it was for a, it was for a local historical society. Now, I usually have a lot of skepticism when it comes to historical societies, only because they want the place to be haunted. But I tell you what, everybody had a personal experience. We all got EVPs. We all got pictures of something or other. And it was, it was definitely not a Scooby-Doo. And for those of you who don't know what a Scooby-Doo is an investigation where you go do the investigation. You don't get anything. And the people there, they still insist that it's still haunted. And they want you to come back and they'll actually fabricate things and fake stuff.
And it turns out to be old man Jenkins down the road wearing a mask.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so,
that's right. Or with a projector, whatever it is.
So, but yeah, it was a really great. And the picture that I want to send is pretty awesome. Right at the end, we were, doing all of our wrap ups and everything. And Jason and I, one of our other investigators, he's actually our greenhorn right now. He and I, we were standing outside and we were looking down this path, and there was the only thing that I could describe as being an actual apparition of a former slave, because this house was used as for the Underground Railroad. And we both saw him with our eyes. We both ran after him. And when I took this picture, I didn't get an actual apparition, but I got like a, big ball of light. Now I know people are like, well, that's just going to be dust or, an insect or whatever. This is different. This, dust usually just sort of hangs there looking stupid, but this one, there was something different about this photograph. It was pretty cool.
Oh, look, I hope that we'll be able to see it. I'd like to. It sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I'm kind of, and I get this way. I have these crises of faith with ghosts. Mm-hmm. Where in the moment I absolutely believe in ghosts, and when mm-hmm. I see one or I have an experience, it's like, yeah, what else could it be? I get away from it because I haven't been on an investigation that's had anything happen mm-hmm. in months. And so now I'm pretty sure all of them are old man Jenkins in the mask again. And so I have these crises of faith with ghosts. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Do you go through that ever?
Yeah, sometimes I go through that. You know, like the investigation that we did before this last one, it was like there was just absolutely nothing. No personal experiences, nothing. The only thing that I could think that this young woman was, that we were helping, that she had some severe psychological problems and she needed help. And I don't think that she was manifesting anything because I don't think that there was anything there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
But with mine, it's like I go from belief to agnosticism. I never go into straight disbelief, but I go from belief to agnosticism. And right. I'm right back into agnostic right now where there's just nothing convincing me that there's anything supernatural out there that I should believe in right now. So I need a good investigation. That's why I'm kind of excited that Wellington is opening back up, because in the summer mm-hmm. and the fall, I am a believer.
You know, it's like when I think of like the paranormal and you say, you know, and I say, oh yeah, I believe in, you know, this, that, and the other thing. I don't know. To me, belief kind of implies that you have faith in something.
Yeah.
Or faith implies that you have belief, whatever, vice, you know, either way. And it's like, you know, I really don't have faith in it, but I do believe in it. I think it's just a kind of like an acknowledgement that, okay, weird stuff happens and there's nothing wrong with looking into it. That's kind of the way I always looked at it.
I know. No, me too. You know, and then the nature of skepticism, and I'm using positive sense, not in the disbeliever sense, in the open-minded, just not sure sense. The nature of skepticism, I think, is that, you know, you have to sort of open yourself up to the possibility that there's nothing there as much as you do the possibility that there's something there.
Right.
So. Well,
I think sometimes that people get, they make the mistake between skepticism and cynicism. Skepticism is like, okay, there's the possibility that it's there, but I want to make, you know, I want something to show me that it's there. Mm-hmm. Whereas cynics, you know, they'll just say, oh no, that stuff doesn't exist. I don't care what you show me. It's all going to be fake. So I think that sometimes people, you know, they confuse the two. Actually, in MCPRG, I'm actually considered the resident skeptic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm not going to be taken in by what somebody says.
Right. Well, I am one of the least cynical people that I know. I'm not a terribly cynical person. I sort of tend to lead with my chin and believe in everything and open, mm-hmm. you know, believe the best in everything and that everybody's telling me the truth and all of that stuff. So I don't think I'm necessarily cynical, but you know, once I get outside of that moment where I absolutely believe what anybody tells me, and I do. Since I was a kid, once I start to engage my brain instead of engaging myself in the experience, I have trouble staying in that moment where I truly knew something.
Right. Well, it's like Dr. Carl Sagan said. He said extraordinary evidence, or rather extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And I think that that's true when you're looking at anything, either it be Bigfoot or, you know, conspiracy theories or whatever. If you're going to come out and say, hey, you know, I see this or I believe this and this is a fact, then you need to have something to back it up, especially when you got people, you know, like Psycop and the not so amazing Randy out there trying to tear down everything that we possibly do. So, you know, not so much Joe Nickel, but, you know, he's kind of a cool cat. But yeah, so you know, you gotta real if you're gonna say stuff, you gotta bring your A game, man. Otherwise, people are just gonna tear you down.
Yeah, I think that's the case. So I think it was interesting, and we don't have much time before a break. But you know, psychics were in the news this week.
Yeah, I saw that,
and in kind of a disappointing way, because I think it's going to damage the credibility of people who actually maybe dialed into something, because mm-hmm. there was this big news story, of course, about. Texas, and mm-hmm. a psychic called in a tip and said there are 30 dead bodies, and the news reported that there were 30 dead bodies, and then everybody had to come back on and say, well, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
And that's disappointing in so many ways.
Well, it is, and I think that that's, you know, a reason why law enforcement shouldn't employ psychics, only because mm-hmm. you're going to get like a bunch of nut jobs who are going to come out of the woodwork, and it's like, oh yeah, you know, this, that, and the other thing. I mean, look at you know, Sylvia Brown a few years back when she was like, oh yeah, this kid's dead and he's in water. No, okay. He was actually tied up in a basement two blocks away from his actual home.
Right.
So,
yeah, you know, well.
Yeah, and I don't think that it hurts the credibility as much that, you know what? No, I think I'm going to go with it hurts the credibility. So, I mean, if you're going to claim you're psychic, man, again, bring your A game. Don't be an idiot.
That's right. So we have to go to break.
Yep.
And when we come back, we're going to be talking with the guys from, I just go by the initials TGAF. What's it actually? The Great American Phenomena Hunt? Is that right?
The Great American Phenomena Hunt. Jeff Grunau and Barry Doyle.
Looking forward to it.
Claims to be the tech god.
That's right. So we'll be right back. Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Lee Douglas. I want to invite all of you 50s and 60s music lovers to listen to Old Time Rock and Roll, the largest oldies podcast in the world today, with a 110,000 song playlist. Our shows are always available 24/7. Go to www.oldtimernr.com. We have two new shows each week, and we take requests and dedication just like the old days. That's oldtimernr.com. Come on over. Join the fun.
If you are a small business owner, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com, a proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.org.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Thank you. searching for an answer. Will you save me if I'm falling? Millions of eyes at me, I'm so small and so useless. Will you save me if I'm falling? See the land covering me, and my tears are like ocean. Will you save me if I'm falling? See the smile upon your face, and I know there is true now. You will save me if I'm falling.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network. Views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Z-Talk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. Tonight on the show we're going to have, the Marshal himself, Jeff Grunau from the Great American Phenomenon Hunt. And we will also, and joining us as well, is the, well, the tech god, and I put that in quotations, little g. fellow Irishman and Zach Bagan's wannabe Barry Doyle. Hey guys, welcome to the show.
Below the belt.
Touché.
We really need to play our real men of genius for him if he's truly a Zach Bagan's wannabe.
Dude, I told you that I was going to zap you, man, after those pictures.
Wait, what kind of pictures?
What kind of pictures?
She doesn't know.
Look at that, Rick.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, it's like, it was on his Facebook page. It's like a picture of Jeff in front, and then Barry's behind him, and Barry's wearing like bleens, and he's wearing a black button-down shirt with like a silver cross emblazoned on it.
Barry. You know, exactly. I gotta say, Barry is not my Facebook friend, so.
Oh.
I know.
Unless I get rejected now.
I hope I would never reject you. That's not the way. Yeah.
Nice.
That didn't come out right, huh?
You have sound effects?
That'll work. So welcome back, guys. Glad to have you back. And I have to tell you, tech god, I pray to you all the time. Never works.
I'm listening.
Are you?
I just don't necessarily answer the prayers of everyone. Otherwise, you know, it wouldn't be a challenge every day to use our telephones, our computers, our flashlights of today.
Well, Karen was just telling me that she's having some personal technical issues that she may need your help with, Barry.
Personal technical issues.
Ooh.
I so badly want to toss something in here, but it's not fit for radio. So
this is a family show, as we say on ours.
That's right. So I'll just keep my own counsel and we'll all be good. So guys, what's new?
Yep. What's going on, guys?
Thanks for having us back, you two.
Yeah.
Sure. Anytime. That doesn't mean every week, but anytime.
One thing that's new is that we actually can show some grace and say thanks for having us.
That's new. Right.
Just in the past whatsoever.
Yes, last time it was you should be grateful for having us. I'm going to smite you now with my tech godliness.
I guess it's beat up on Barry night. That's all right.
I'm just teasing you, Barry.
I'm loving it. It's great.
Yeah, your turn's coming, dude.
Yeah, we're coming for you, Marshall.
You know, there's a lot that is new in the TGAF world. We have a lot of great investigations currently going.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of videos and DVD works in the works. We're currently going up this next week. We're going up to the Vendome Hotel up in Prescott, Arizona. Mm-hmm. And then we're off for a week, and then we're back up to the Jerome Grand in Jerome. And then we'll probably be off for a couple days and then back into Globe. It's
very cool.
It's going to be very, very busy the next few 4 or 5 weeks.
No. Sorry, Karen.
I just said very good.
Oh. You know, I read up a little bit on the Hotel Vendome, and I got to be honest with you, I couldn't really find anything concerning, you know, reports of hauntings and, you know, what exactly is going on. I couldn't find anything at all. So, you know, if you could just, you know, fill us in on, you know, what kind of, you know, the spirits that are there, you know, some of the, you know, haunted history or whatever. And then we could talk a little bit about that, that photograph that Barry, captured. That's a phenomenal picture, but, you know, let's talk a little bit first about, you know, the haunted history of the Vendome.
Okay. Well, I think Barry would probably be the best one to address that one, right?
Okay. Let me
just kind of tell you guys a ghost story, as a lot of these begin with. The story of the Hotel Vendome is basically this. There was a lady, her name was Abby Beer, B-Y-R,
mm-hmm.
and she was the owner of the hotel, definitely was a manager at some point. There's some discrepancies that we plan on clearing up when we're doing the investigation, but nevertheless, in 1921... she passed away in room 16 of tuberculosis. Mm-hmm. And as she was getting more and more sickly, she had stopped managing, obviously. With tuberculosis, it was progressing. That disease would progress and people would have to wind up in bed. At any rate, she was up there, and the story is that her husband, who lives with her there too as well, went to acquire some types of medication or medical support, but he didn't return, and she was sickly, and so basically they didn't hear any response from her for a couple of days, the staff that was there in room 16, and they opened it up and they found both Abby Beer and her cat were dead in the closet.
Meow. Meow.
Meow.
Wow, that's,
meow.
So what did she do? Did she just like curl up in a ball in the closet and just expire right there?
Story goes, she was just dead, and you know the story, you know how stories will build, and so sure. It goes on to say there are suggestions that she might have died of starvation and lack of care, and her cat died with her. But the bottom line was she had tuberculosis. She was terminal. She was found. She was found like that. And since her husband was nowhere to be found at this point, you know, that's all they could do was to take care of the issue. Shortly thereafter, that's how the story kind of built. And there are claims in that place that started years after that. I mean, even in the World War II era, people started making reports of seeing her, of seeing a cat, which is, you know, I'm on the fence with the whole cat ghost thing, but we'll see. Nonetheless, they've done a great job of kind of playing that up at the hotel for the last, you know, 10, 20 years to get people excited about it. However, I've begun with some inquiries and a little bit of pre-investigation stuff, and we're going to go up there and make some sense of this thing.
See, now that's one of the things that always interests me when it comes to, hotels and bed and breakfast that, you know, claim to have, you know, paranormal activity. Let's face it, nowadays, that kind of stuff is great for business. So, are there any, like, is there any actual evidence to, you know, back up these claims?
I actually, as I've looked through the book, and this seems to be the guest book with the entries, you go to these places, and a lot of times it seems that orb photos are very common. At any rate, you would ask about evidence. There are a ton of those, but there are a few photographs that are intriguing, and I recently caught something that may or may not be something, but I kind of threw it out there out of interest because it did display some type of anomaly that I found had in common with a report from like 1994, or excuse me, 2004. Let's jump another 10 years. Okay. And so that's about it so far with what I've seen in the place. I don't go with the whole orb thing very easily at all.
Neither do I.
And especially in the hotel arena, because that's, you know, what everybody gets with their flashes on their cameras.
Sure. Now, sorry about that. You know, I didn't hear any last little bit of that. It was like, I don't know if we had like one of those weird lags or whatever. But I wanted to talk to you know a little bit about that photograph that you posted on your Facebook page. Now, when I first looked at that series, and you know, by the way, thanks for giving me those, because you know they can also go on my page as well, or mentioning me rather. In this series of photographs, you can see what looks like, you know, like a cloudy mist.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, something like that could be easily explained away. If I didn't think that you guys were legit, I was, you know, like I wrote on your thing, I was like, I would say that this is like, you know, this is fake, man. But there is another image that shows up in one of the photographs that is really intriguing to me. It looks clearly to me, it looks like the very well-defined face, features of a woman.
Well, and that's consistent with, one of the older photos that they have. And that's why I was interested. What I did do, Rick, is I essentially took a, full spectrum camera, which is it has the filter so that it doesn't see visible light. I've seen infrared and UV.
Sure.
And I used steady lighting, constant lighting, no flash whatsoever. And I took three stills on a tripod with nobody in the room or that lobby area and nobody outside. Then I took the other six pictures are actually from different angles of the same area. And I too would love to just say, no way, I'm not going to I'm not going to accept any photograph of an image that is near a window. However, it was the strange thing was there was no denying that I took those and I was looking at the LCD. I was beside myself with how did that change over three? And I couldn't explain it. And I looked outside on the spot. It's about 2 a.m. I looked outside. I looked around the room. I don't know. Is it paranormal? Sure could be.
Yeah.
Is it for sure paranormal? I don't know. But I can't explain it away through any other natural or scientific means. So therefore, I posted on my Facebook.
So that's on your Facebook, huh, Barry?
Yeah.
On the Facebook,
I'll have to hunt you down through Rick's or Jeff's because Jeff is my Facebook friend. I just thought I'd tell you that.
Yes. She is my Facebook friend, yes.
That's right.
Barry.
Yeah.
Well, I think the problem is Barry and I have both have very common names.
Well, I just think it's funny that it's like I said the last time, another Barry with an interest in the paranormal. I should have named Theodore Barry.
So that sounds really interesting. I'm going to hunt you down on Facebook because I like to see pictures. I was just telling Rick at the top of the show that I go through these periods when we do investigations that don't yield anything, that I have my crises of faith. And faith isn't quite the right word, of course. But in the moment when I have something happen, I'm an absolute believer. And when I've been away from something happening for a couple months, I think, yeah, right. So
that's one thing, though, Karen. Keep in mind, that's one red flag that I tell people all the time to keep an eye out for with teams and investigators and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
When you find teams that miraculously, out of nowhere, they find all this evidence every time they go out. Yeah. I'm sorry, that's just not the way it happens.
No, I know.
And I can tell you stories of 100 investigations and not have one thing happen.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden that 101, and it's just coming out of the woodwork.
So do you have the doubt during those 100 investigations? Do you slip back into a state where you start to doubt and think, maybe. I'm not there yet because I'm still in the, I start to rethink everything and think, well, maybe I was just crazy.
You haven't had anything really, and I hate to use this word, but spectacular happen to you in an investigation yet, have you?
Yeah, I saw a full body apparition.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been touched, poked?
Yes, I've been touched. I've been poked. Huh? I've had people speak in my ear. I've had it all. And in that moment, oh my God, it is the coolest thing, and I get chills all. And I'm so excited, and I live on that high for a while, and then then it sort of starts to fade, and I go several months without anything, and I think, well, I wonder if I imagined that poke, and I wonder if when I saw that, it was my brain doing something. And I'm a thinker, and thinking is often my downfall. And in the moment, and anybody who knows me can tell you this, in the moment, I don't necessarily think, but after the fact, I do.
Well, I think what the problem with a lot of people in a lot of groups are is that so many people, they want to believe so badly that they're willing to commit what I call intellectual suicide. Mm-hmm. Would you guys agree with that?
Yes.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Can you enlighten me on that, the term?
Well, what I mean by it is that it's like I prefaced it with, people are so want to believe in something, they want to see whatever, that when something ordinary happens but in an extraordinary setting, that your brain goes into that, oh my God, I just saw something so great, something actually touched me. Like with our last investigation, we were in a cellar. Now, I had actually seen the shadow of a dude down in the cellar, but I also...
You don't have to tell us first that part.
but,
Gotcha.
Bam!
Barry Slam, Rick. No, you know, I think you had it coming.
Okay,
I did.
Sorry.
I really had it coming. And I got like that cobwebby feeling on my face that some people report feeling at, you know, at investigations. And it's like, no, it's actual cobwebs because I got a spider crawling across my eyeball right now. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like just what I'm saying is like with intellectual suicide, don't believe everything you see and hear because like W.C. Fields said, a sucker is born every minute.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. This isn't for everybody to do.
Right.
Number one, let me get that right out there. A night vision camera and an EMF meter does not make a paranormal investigator. Mm-hmm. In my eyes, and let me premise this by saying this is my personal opinion. This
right.
is mine. I think that there is a major difference between a ghost hunter and a paranormal investigator.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Big time difference. Mm-hmm. And the problem, I think, with what's going on, and I'm going to put it right back on them, are all these TV shows out there. Mm-hmm. Everybody mm-hmm. watches these TV shows, and every week, week after week after week, they see shows that have evidence. They have something, an EVP, something on a video, something, every single week. Mm-hmm. And everybody thinks, well, they go out and they get this stuff, boom, right now. Easy, yeah. easy.
Right.
They don't understand and they don't, you know, they can't, that they might go to 50 locations and get absolutely nothing. That this is the best what you are seeing on TV. It is a production.
Mm-hmm.
The network right. is going to put something up there where they're just sitting there twiddling their thumbs and they're, oh, we didn't get anything. Sorry, people, tune in next week.
Right. No, that's not that's, entertaining.
That's just no. not going to happen. The ratings aren't there. The show's gone.
Right.
So, you know, and everybody thinks that, and maybe this is a wrong statement to make, but because in a way I disagree with myself on this, but everybody thinks that they can just go out and do this and get all this evidence and become a paranormal investigator.
Right.
It's not going to happen that way. It's just not. You've got to know your equipment. You've got to know how to use that equipment. You've got to know the capabilities of that equipment and the range that equipment's going to work in. Mm-hmm. You've got to know how to use it properly in the setting that you're in
mm-hmm.
and how to comprehend the results that you're getting.
Sure.
Just because you get something on a recorder or on a video does not mean that it's paranormal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It does not
yes.
mean it. And everybody is going out there, oh, look at this orb I found. Orb.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. Run a vacuum.
Yeah,
do a little dusting.
I'm not listening to you. My yeah. underwear drawer is haunted. Everything is haunted.
Okay? You know, I have to say, Jeff, I agree with you to a certain extent. But, you know, Lloyd Auerbach makes a really good point. And he's made this point to me a few times when I've spoken with him, that in spite, you can have all of the equipment in the world, but truly your best piece of equipment when you are investigating is yourself.
I agree with that 150 million percent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's your perceptions. And go ahead, Barry.
I'm going to double agree to that. Because the thing is, the investigator has to be in that person. To be a good investigator, you need to be an investigator. The equipment comes secondary or along with that as a package.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Lloyd Auerbach, I mean, he, truthfully, from what I've read of all his work, I mean, what does he carry? I think maybe as far as his highest tech stuff, it might be a Tri-Field Natural, which I was impressed with. But he does most of his work by just simply using tuning in. And,
right.
Yeah.
And another thing, too, this is kind of surprising, probably coming from the guy who's supposed to be Mr. Tech. But my very favorite tool that I use in an investigation,
be
literally,
careful,
it's
be careful.
Well, I'm going to be careful, and I'm being serious about this part of it. I said investigation, remember? That this is my favorite tool for investigations.
In a ladies' jail cell?
It's 1970s movies on Skinamax.
Rick, I am going to send you the link to that video because it's on private on our YouTube channel. You are going to
okay.
see that. It is hilarious.
Okay. Yeah,
it's all buried.
And it came out wrong, and our historian was with us, had a laugh, and then everybody fell apart. But I actually feel like your skin, my skin is my mm-hmm. favorite, because you walk into something, especially in the dark, and the largest organ on our body that covers us and is so sensitive to the feel of everything, we reduce our senses to the dark, to the light, we reduce our senses that way. And so I think our sense of feel starts kicking in. And the cool thing is, you know, you need a ghost meter. Don't buy that $20 one that has the neat lights on it. You know, watch your skin. As long as your brain doesn't contradict it, it's interesting. I mean,
That's also the easiest thing to doubt, because I know when I investigate and there's like right before I saw this full body apparition, I had I call it my spidey sense, and it's what Barry's talking about. It's the skin thing. I had that hit, and then the full body apparition appeared. So I get it, but at the same time, it's really easy to doubt your skin. You know what I mean?
I think
it's not scientific.
That's where the goodies come in. If you have your gear and you're recording the environmental changes, you're recording what is happening in front of you. If you were lucky enough to catch it with hopefully two different, completely different changes in the environment, whether it be a anomaly that appears on the video along with the temperature change is documented, and have that feeling, boy, that's when you hit home. I think that's a home run.
But Karen, one thing I want to address what you just said. Mm-hmm. You said that your spidey sense, and that you kind of, in a way, you doubt it because it's not scientific.
Yeah, it's not measurable. It's not scientifically measurable in a way that I can measure it at this time. It's a feeling.
Okay, because now I think what Barry's talking about is like the hair standing up, goosebumps and all that kind of stuff. You can see that. You can feel that.
True.
You can touch it. You can experience it.
True.
But keep in mind now, and I'm going to kind of probably start a war here, but the scientific methodology behind this, I think, in a way, is kind of an excuse with a lot of these teams.
Yeah.
It's bunk. A lot of it's bunk.
Yeah.
Scientific, what are you basing it on? All you're doing is you're measuring environmental changes.
Well,
obvious
not only-
and some subtle scientific or environmental changes.
Right.
Now it's just a philosophy.
Right.
That has something to do with something that's happening with the paranormal. We don't know.
Right. I've got to admit, I'll fess up right now that when I said that was fairly intellectually lazy and I misspoke. It's because 99 well,
no, you're just being honest.
Mea culpa. 99% of people who go out there and investigate the paranormal with their little instruments and measurements, and they measure temperature and they do all of that stuff, it's not scientific.
Because yes, it is. I have a meter, and it's scientific.
Scientific method is something entirely different altogether, because you control your variables and you have that one thing that changes as you
measure
things. And so I get that. So when I said it's not scientific, that was me speaking in popular paranormal jargon, as opposed to what I suppose I truly meant to say, which was that it's not for me. It's not. I don't have an instrument other than my skin that I can measure that with. How's that?
Yes. Yes.
But hey, guys, if I can just interject with something with this, you know, to say that it's not scientific. Okay, fine. I can go with that. However, it is psychological. This is very much part of the fight or flight mechanism that's been in us ever since we were, you know, hunting man. Oh my God, there's a saber-toothed tiger about to eat me standing behind us, and he wants the same thing as we do. So it's definitely part of that. And also, too, you know, I always hear the word, you know, the scientific method. Well, you know, you can't really, I don't think that the scientific method really applies to paranormal investigation, only because you can't capture a ghost or a spirit or whatever and make it do whatever you want and then record those findings.
Right.
It's way too spontaneous. It's
that's
way too
where
random.
I was actually going, and that's kind of what. Yeah, that's sort of the point that I make a lot. Mm-hmm. Is that, and that's why I have the doubt thing too. Is because I come from a very I'm like this weird dichotomy of I want everything to be very concrete and scientific, because that's what my educational background is, of course.
Sure.
And at the same time, I am
to be weird.
Yeah, I have the most touchy-feely in the world, too. So, you know, so I have both of these things, and that's what I think why I have so much trouble with it.
Yeah.
And now, one other thing, too, with the skin, with your spidey sense, what more or what better, I guess is the best description or the wording here, what better, if you want to call it scientific test, could you have
than
than your skin, than that hair standing up on end?
Then you can't fake that.
Exactly. You cannot fake that. Thank you, Rick.
You've got a great point, but what I think what Karen's pointing out is that when it comes down to hardcore data, if you're gonna go down the path of wanting to prove something and try to even somewhat fit this traditional scientific method in here, you certainly have to just measure all these changes. And you know, that's why at this point now I agree with everybody. It doesn't fit. It doesn't apply. Maybe it will in the future. Maybe we will have the whatever it takes, equipment, ability, ways of testing. Maybe the veil, this veil theory. Maybe the veil will get thinner. Whatever it is, maybe we'll be able to see into spectrums we can't see now. Bottom line is, yes, right now it does not completely apply.
Right. Well, this is why Barry and I are now best friends on Facebook.
Yes, we are.
Oh, Karen, come on.
You're my best friend, too. How's that?
Oh, I thank you. Okay.
I have an open heart.
We talk about
Jeff behind us back, too. Sure, go ahead. Everybody else does. But another point I want to make about all this in the team-type world and these investigation teams and investigators that are out there doing this, I really think that they're losing that personal experience-type touch. They're relying way too much on that piece of equipment, that science, their research, and they're stepping back and they're losing that personal experience, that hair standing up on end, that electric feeling in your body. I get that a lot. It just feels like electricity is shooting through my body and just, you know, just coursing through my veins. They don't take that into account. They miss out. They really miss out on a lot.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, Jeff. Would you say it has become our absolute reliance on technology now that we don't trust our own senses? I mean, it doesn't make you psychic or a medium or whatever. It just makes you human. Would you agree with that?
I would to a point. And here's why. Everybody out there portrays himself somewhere or another. Everybody's a stinking psychic and a medium these days.
I predicted you were going to say that, Jeff.
Did you have your crystal ball in front of you, Barry?
That's right.
But it's you know, and then when you ask them something, or that's what I'm trying to say, is there, it's a bunch of crap. You know?
Absolutely.
You know, they can't back what they say. They just can't.
But I will say that when I have these spidey sense hits, and I know that that's a really stupid thing to call it, and it's sort of detracting from
to describe it.
Okay, but it's also sort of makes fun of it and detracts from the seriousness of what it might be telling me, that I feel much better when I'm walking with somebody and at the same time we both stop and go, whoa, because we both had the hit. To me, that's more confirmation than if it's just...
Just
me.
Everybody seems to think that you've got to have that piece of equipment validating what you are feeling. If that piece of equipment does not react, does not validate it, then it must just be you've got to chill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is wrong.
We do myself, get sucked into that.
Let me tell you something. Myself, the Marshall, I don't even own an EMF meter. I don't own one. I don't use them. I do not use them. I don't think that they're reliable. That's my own personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think that you need all this big time, huge mumbo jumbo equipment.
Mm-hmm. I actually have a compass in my kit.
I have a compass. Yeah,
so do I. I have an old U.S. military compass that I use.
Mm-hmm. I have an EMF meter. It's one of those Tri-Field Naturals, and I will tell you, I don't use it because every time you move, that thing jumps. And if even with your cell phone turned off, sometimes the cell phone affects it, and it's just so susceptible.
Yeah.
We end up using it, but we put it far away from us. And we actually found, you know, stationary. And we found as long as the investigators are stationary and the device is stationary, Just maybe, it can help to act as a form of communication. And we have found actually a little correlation between that and EVP responses, which will come to fruition in our Globe documentary. But
there again,
is coming up.
People have to know how to use their equipment and what it's capable of doing. If they don't use it properly, they're going to get all kinds of evidence, more than definitely.
That's right. You get all kinds of evidence.
I like that, yeah. So,
hey,
I know we're going to break, but I just want to tell you what I want to talk about when we come back, because I think I'm staring at horrified at my dog, who's still standing outside my bedroom window with a snake in his mouth. So pardon me if I sound distracted. I hate snakes. I'm terrified of them. Anyway.
That's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
But, take a picture and post it on Facebook.
I should. Anyway, when we come back, I actually want to talk about some other things that are kind of the pseudo-instruments, like pendulums and dowsing rods and Ouija boards and that type of thing, because I'm sure you do
stuff.
I'm sure you two gents have lots of opinions about those, and I'm really interested to hear.
That'll be fun.
And we also have a couple of EVPs from you guys from the Jerome Grant, correct?
Awesome.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So let's go to break, and everybody, you're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com, and we have Barry and Jeff, the Marshall and the Tech God, not necessarily in that order, from the Great American Phenomenon Hunt. So come back, stick around, and we're going to talk some more.
If you are a small business owner, you're paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com, a proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.
Hi, everybody. This is Lee Douglas. I want to invite all of you 50s and 60s music lovers to listen to Old Time Rock and Roll, the largest oldies podcast in the world today, with a 110,000 song playlist. Our shows are always available 24/7. Go to www.oldtimernr.com. We have two new shows each week, and we take requests and dedication just like the old days. That's oldtimernr.com. Come on over. Enjoying the fun.
Hi, everyone. It's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hey, this is Tanya.
And this is Stacy. And we are from Morning Coffee with Tanya and Stacy.
Make sure to tune in Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern,
6 a.m. Pacific, as we have segments which include, but are certainly not limited to, DB University on Mondays,
My Useless Facts Every Day, Coffee Advice, and Stacy's Spontaneous Outbursts, of course.
We have been known to test every emotion known to man, and we want you to join in on the fun.
Come get your ab workout as you join in with laughter and comedy
right here on ztalkradio.com.
Your assignment is to listen to The Buzz on Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central on ztalkradio.com. This message will self-destruct.
I know what you are. You drive too fast, you smell so good, and you dress fashionably well.
Say it out loud.
You're a metrosexual?
Oh, why do I always get that? I'm a radio show host.
Cale, I want to be one of them.
And you can be. Join me on ztalkradio.com, 9 p.m. Eastern on Sunday nights. The show's called Perspective.
Hey, do you sparkle?
Oh my God, don't even start. Hang on, Spider Monkey.
station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency on ZTalkRadio.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio. Karen Fraser here with my very excellent co-host who's been taking care of the show for me the last couple weeks. He's been pulling his weight while I've been off doing other things. Rick Hale.
Hello.
Hello. And, of course, we are having a great conversation with our two guests tonight. The Great American Phenomena Hunt. We're talking to Barry and Jeff. Guys, before we went to break, we were sort of having a conversation about equipment and skin, and skin is equipment, and not in an X-rated movie sense, but in a paranormal underground investigation sense. And that got me thinking about some of the, shall we call it alternative equipment, non-technical equipment. How would you classify it? The pendulums and the dowsing rods and the
good stuff.
Ouija's boards and stuff. So let's talk about those. Tell me, let's start with Tech God, because he is so technological. What do you think of that stuff, Barry?
Well, in the days of the spiritualist movement, early 1900s and such, I think is when a lot of that stuff kind of came into play as far as people investigating. I mean, yeah, there's a long history with witch boards, if you will, and things like that, but I think a lot of the stuff, like the use of it in America, at least, and Europe, Eastern Europe specifically, came in the early 1900s. Now, these devices, funny thing is about it, some of it can be considered technical. And like for instance, the dowsing rods or the pendulum, there are some thoughts about it being reacting to a magnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we supposedly measure with the electronic devices.
I was going to say, wouldn't that be what an EMF natural is measuring, at least? The tri-field natural.
Right. And yeah. The tri-field natural could, it's almost like it's kind of funny, but yeah, it's like almost an electronic version of that same thing where it measures weak static electricity, DC fields, naturally occurring things in the atmosphere. But as far as what I think about those tools and how they apply, I think that they may very well play a role. If we close our minds to the spiritual side of all this, then we are not operating holistically in the type of research we do or investigations we do.
That's the best way I've ever heard anybody put that.
I think it's a complete loss of objectiveness. You know, if you're going to close your mind and say, oh, yeah, there's nothing spiritual about this. Yeah, there is.
Yeah, absolutely.
But wouldn't you also add the caveat that those are very easy to influence and therefore you have to be absolutely, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is. So you have to have a lot of integrity, personal self when you're using them, that you're not moving them or you're not giving the pendulum a jiggle. Or, I mean, how do you make them so that you remove that human body influence, even the subconscious stuff from it?
I think that's where maybe the modern technology can play along with the traditional tools, because again, when we see something that correlates, if you see somebody who you think is trustworthy, hopefully trustworthy, if you're going to work with them, and they're calling the shots with a pendulum, and then you get a corresponding device that's doing something electronically that's showing a similar reaction, wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they could be used together.
You know, with like the dowsing rods and all that. I mean, for over a century now, they've been using that to for ley lines. Tracking ley lines. You know, there's the Dragon Project out of England, and these are very, scientifically minded people, and they swear by things like dowsing rods and pendulums that this actually works.
So what do you think, Jeff?
Well, I've had a lot of experience with pendulums. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a paranormal household, and my sister, who passed away in 1986, she was a very, very gifted, I don't know if you want to call it, psychic, medium, empath. She never liked any of those words. She never liked any of those titles.
Mm-hmm.
She did a lot with dowsing rods, and with pendulums. And the way that she controlled the pendulum was she didn't, you know, you'll see people put their elbow on the table and then, you know, limp their wrist over and hold the pendulum with their index finger and thumb. Mm-hmm. And all it takes, like you said, all it takes is one slight little movement.
Yeah.
And that whatever is at the end of that string is going to start moving.
So how are you supposed to do it the right way?
Well, what she did was she took just a regular drinking glass. She would take a ring or a pendant or off of somebody that was she was working with. She would put it on the string, and then she would take a pencil and lay the pencil over the top of the glass and suspend that pendulum inside that glass. She wouldn't even touch it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And then all of a sudden, I mean, and there's nothing that can move that object inside. It's deep inside that glass.
How about brainwaves?
Well,
how about me thinking and sitting there trying to make it move?
But isn't that also paranormal too?
I don't know.
Well, define paranormal.
Well, you know, I'm unexplained. Exactly.
It's unexplained. So yes, I would say yes. But for that pendulum, if you will, to get going, and then all of a sudden it just starts ding, ding on the side of that glass.
Yeah.
And then it starts ding, ding. It's going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is kind of strange and very, very unexplainable. Mm-hmm. So I do believe in the pendulum, in using the pendulum. I do believe in the dowsing rods. I've seen the dowsing rods being used. We even just had on our show, we just had a guy, Neil Duchesne. He's with an organization, APCRP.org. And they go around and all they do is locate these old pioneer-type cemeteries and locate graves and things like that. And they use dowsing rods. That's what they use to locate graves. His philosophy is that there's a magnetic field in the body that stays in the skeletal remains, and that's what reacts with the dowsing rods.
Sure.
Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I've never seen it done. I've never met the man face to face. I don't know, but that's...
We do have plans, actually, when he is making his way back into Arizona, we have some plans to go ahead and check it out.
Sure.
That is what we do. Inquiring minds want to know.
Oh, yes.
I'd like to point out to you that not only do you wear bleans, but you also say, that's what we do. And that just sounds a little like somebody else on television.
Zach Bagans.
Gerald, you need to load up that commercial for them to hear the Real Men of Genius. Because I don't think, had we played the Real Men of Genius when you guys were here last?
Oh, yes, you did.
Okay, never mind.
Well, you know what? At least Barry's not saying that, you know, there's demons going to about to suck his soul and, you know, drag him into hell. I mean, trust me, there's nothing that anybody wants to suck on Barry.
Oh! Oh, I just felt that deep in my soul. That was so...
I had to move away.
I'm practicing such restraint tonight, too. Now I have to start getting in touch with the deviant side.
So let's talk about automatic writing, which I think falls
Jeff, just let it flow, buddy.
Jeff hates automatic writing. I can hear.
No. Well, you have no idea what we use that term for.
Oh,
but now you do.
I meant the kind like with the patient's worth case.
You know, I don't really take a whole lot of stock in automatic writing, and here's why. Because it can be manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, it's just like with, you know, we were talking about psychics and mediums.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them can't prove what they're saying. They just can't. A lot of them, it's just pure luck, and it's so general. I mean, come on, they teach what these psychics, like John Edwards, crossing over.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, but I'm gonna come out and say that that guy's a fake.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that guy at all. I mean, they teach this technique in the FBI Academy.
Wait, what?
They teach this technique in the FBI Academy.
Automatic writing?
No. To be like a psychic, you ask a certain question or response, you gauge that, and you ask another question, it's leading.
Right. It's
cold leading.
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of thing, I think I classify that in the same with automatic writing.
Okay.
You can't, I mean, you try it. Close your eyes and imagine that you're going to draw a letter A. You know how to move your body to draw a letter A. You know how to move your body with your hands so it looks scribbly like a two-year-old did it. So what? You're still manipulating your body into something. And for me, it's just not, I don't know. I've just never had a good experience. I've never witnessed a good experience with it.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Fair enough, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, and now I will never be able to say the words automatic writing again.
At least not around Jeff, anyways.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's okay.
That's internal TGAF stuff, anyway. I mean, it's code.
You have to have fun with your teammates.
Mm.
You have to, and that's one thing also. You know, everybody is so serious, and you see this all over the place, all the drama. This one's a fake. This one's a fake. We're better than this one. No, we're better. We're certified. You're not.
Yeah, you know,
Well, I love that certify thing.
I know, the certified is pretty funny.
Yes, I agree. I agree. But the thing is, people pay big money for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they go by it. You know, use our team because we're certified.
You know, we had actually, we were talking about filming a documentary, and we were trying to come up with a way to mix the serious with the fun, because we have a lot of fun. We're not just serious all the time. And so we decided that if we did this documentary, which now we're not going to be able to do for reasons I can't go into here, but we were going to do a Bollywood dance at the end of it just to show that we have fun together, too. Oh, so
Bollywood is so awesome.
A Bollywood dance is rock.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That's
that probably sounds a lot more sophisticated than the idea I presented to Jeff. The Hotel Vendome happens to be in a neighborhood that has two historical mortuaries that are still in business.
Listen,
literally next door. Mm-hmm. My idea was to ding-dong ditch the mortuary later at night and film it, and then, you know, kind of whisper from around that side of the house. I thought that was sophisticated, but yours sounds better.
You guys
I would
can use
totally
that
get in on that.
We're not going to do it now, so you can actually, here, even better, you ding-dong ditch the mortuary, run around the side and do a Bollywood dance.
That's perfect. That just might show up in the episode now.
You are welcome to it.
Can we ding dong ditch and say that we're from Ghost Night?
From Paranormal.
The tale.
I don't know if you guys have seen that video when we were up in Jerome recently. We kind of compared Jeff's Igor thing to Jeff and I being locked up in this. What is it, Jeff? Maybe 10 by 15, three old Ford.
It's about 5.5 by 5.5.
But this is where the town of Jerome had literally hundreds, maybe thousands of bodies go through, because when the Spanish flu hit, that's where they were stored and stacked in there. And well, if you look around on Facebook, you're bound to have a good time watching that video. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. So you guys, now from what I understand, because, you sent them to me and I sent them on, but we have two EVPs to listen to tonight, correct?
Good ones, yes.
Awesome.
And getting ready to go to the Drone Grand, we just thought we'd send those your way, because those are some EVPs that we've acquired in the past. And so,
okay.
And these are recent, too. Not anything, you know, like a year ago. This is recent.
Okay. So basically what we like to do on the show, because Karen and I, we like to go into EVPs being completely cold. We don't want to listen to anything, you know, the preconceived notion or whatever. So what we can do is you guys can, you know, set it up where this EVP was captured, how it was captured, and then, you know, we can throw it over to Cheryl. Yeah, don't tell us where it says, and then we'll throw it over to Cheryl, and she'll, she'll let us know.
It's like our little EVP game show. It's like wine tasting, only we do EVPs.
Cool.
So, Cheryl.
Go ahead, Barry, set it up.
Well, I can just start by saying this. I don't know which one you guys are going to play first. So, I want to give
Cheryl, can you tell us which we're going to play first?
Do you guys want to play it once, and then I'll give you a clue and a tad?
Okay.
Yeah, well,
so
let's do it that way. Okay, let me start out with this first one.
There might be any other. There is any other thing. What are you looking for, Kat?
Well, I don't know if she wants to close that, or if you want to close the light.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
So
I heard like an ooh in the beginning.
Yeah. Is that what we're listening for?
Well,
is
what's
like
going on here, guys?
Or something?
What is going on here is we're actually with a couple of people, not as many as it sounds like on there, but there are a few people, and they are new to paranormal investigating, period.
Wait, did you say they are new to or nude?
New. No, they're not. They're not nude. It would have been more fun that way, but we were just getting the gear. The gear was ready to go. Everybody was kind of primed on how to conduct the investigation. The lights were about to be shut off, and there's all this noise going on, and something came up on the camera audio, and that is what you're. Should be listening for. There is no response to a question, but what did come up on the camera audio, and I think you guys hit on that a little bit, was very interesting. So
that high-pitched kind of female sounds like it's going, ooh, that? Is that what we're listening? Okay.
So if you tune in for that, if you want to run it again, just tune in for that and listen to that female.
There might be any other. There is any other thing. What you looking for, Kat?
Well, I don't know if she wants to close that, or if you want to close
that. It still just sounds like ooh to me.
There's actually. Yeah,
hold on one second. I'm sorry. I gotta interject with this. What is that loud bang?
That is the door that separates the two rooms. That used to be where they kept the folks who wouldn't make it through the night, and when it was a hospital, and the Jerome Grand Hotel used to be the United Verde Hospital.
Okay.
And so the door that sections off the two sides was being shut in preparation for shutting off the lights.
Okay. But couldn't that noise be from the door closing?
The noise actually occurs before the door is shut.
Okay.
And you're actually hearing three tones.
Okay.
There's three tones that go along with that. And bottom line is, I don't know how much we want to play the cat and mouse game, but I'll say this. There are three tones, and it... To me, it sounds like a little bit of a really pretty singing voice.
Okay, let's listen to it one more time because I'm getting singing, but you know, let's listen one more time.
There might be any other. There is any other thing. What you looking for, Kat?
Well, I don't know if she wants to close that or if you want to close that.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
Yeah, it kind of.
That time I heard it.
And then there's also the female voice that's with you where she says something like, "Now." They want to close it. There's a little bit over the top of her. There's another hoo, but it's really fast.
Yeah, it's like hoo hoo hoo, kind of like that.
Yeah.
And Rick, you are right. Actually, there is a beginning of a squeak, and then that, and then of course the closing of the door. So you are right. Now, here's what I did to take it a step further. I went ahead and brought that to the owner and manager, one of the manager owners of the Jerome Grand, Chris, and I actually played it for him, and I asked him if it sounded like a familiar voice, and he did indicate that yes, it was. So he has heard it around there before.
We could definitely hear the tone and cadence in there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and we had three other recorders running, three. In the same exact place, the same time, I could not find it on any of those three. It's almost like it was imprinted on this video camera.
I've had that happen. I've had that happen before too. And you know, I know I've invoked his name before, but I just interviewed him for another place, and so that's probably why he's at the forefront of my brain right now. Is that Lloyd Auerbach says, and a parapsychologist and psychical research believes that EVPs are actually psychokinetically imprinted on digital media, and that's why it will show up on one and not the other.
Well, in that case, it could definitely apply.
What's that, Jeff?
Can you spell that word?
Psychokinetic? I could, but, you know, it would... This is
not
like
she can Google it real quick and say it correct, Jeff. Come on.
Yeah. I was lucky I could access it from the Reese's... recesses of my addled brain. I'm clearly having trouble speaking this evening. Okay, so I think that let's listen to the next one. Do you have any setup you want to do first, Barry?
You know, really just that same thing, same situation. And again, this isn't a standard TGAF type of investigation at all. These are from kind of a more casual evening. When we go and do it, it will, you know, obviously the stuff that comes from us in our investigations is much more methodical and done, I don't know, in the way we do it. But this particular, you're going to hear a younger person a very young person, who wanted to ask a question of the would-be ghosts in the room or spirits, and I think you might hear a little interesting response there.
Okay. Let's go, Cheryl.
How it was like when you were here.
Wow.
I have no idea what it said, but let's hear it one more time.
Sounds kind of creepy.
I hear it. It sounds. You know what it sounds like? Is like one of those hula hoops. It's got something rolling around on the inside. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
That's kind of what it sounds like to me.
I think we beat ourselves to death with that particular one. And yes, the sad thing about it is, here's your next clue, though, is that I have come to a conclusion that that is the most cliche EVP you could ever get.
Oh, and really?
I have yet to ever get that, but...
Okay, let's listen to it one more time.
When you were here.
Okay. I don't have it, but what does it say?
Let me say this. It does sound a little bit like get out. But the neat thing about it is, you guys, if you listen to the out or would be out, you do hear a female voice that actually is like that strange property that I hear of EVPs where it's like a doubling of a voice.
Oh, yeah.
You can almost hear a female ending it for the wicked voice, like going out. At the end of out, you hear a female voice like doubled up.
Yeah. Let's hear it one more time.
Yeah. How it was like when you were here.
You know, I actually got that doubling up of a voice like that one time on... Radio Shack hack. That doubling up, which was really bizarre.
Now, I think the thing that I find most interesting about it is that's something anomalous is now. How old was this little girl who was asking this question?
She is under 10 years old. So
okay, that would scare the hell out of any child hearing something like that.
Luckily, she didn't hear it. That was found long after we had packed up the bags. And so hearing it, I was very surprised. I was like, wow. So luckily she did not hear anything like that.
You know, I have to tell you, musical EVPs where you hear singing or music or something of that nature are actually my favorite kinds of EVPs. I don't know why, but I just love those musical. Oh, God, now the cat has the damn snake. Wonderful. Sorry.
My favorite EVPs, I like EVPs that are threatening towards co-investigators, not me.
Oh, see. Like, or little children.
Or Rick.
No, he likes to set me up quite a bit.
Compare me to him, I will kill you. You're hurt for those?
I have a one that says, you suck, and it's saying it to like one of the people that I like least in the world, so that's kind of awesome.
Awesome.
I almost feel like I might have projected that one onto the tape myself, psychokinetically.
Lloyd probably has a way of testing that.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I have absolutely zero powers. I have maybe a little bit of powers of persuasion, but I'm about as psychic as a rock.
No, you could still be sensitive, but not psychic. So, are we going to head up to a break now, or?
Jeff, you don't know this, but Barry agreed that you guys would stick around and do our lightning round.
Cool.
I know, it's cool.
They're going to take us down hard, but we're going to try our best.
All right. It's like a game show, guys.
It's not. It's so not serious. It's just
What are we going to win? Do we win like...
win nothing.
Rick and Jeff, Karen's church?
Guys, just like they say in Germany, Jeff, we all know that you are the wiener. The wiener, get it?
Now is the wiener of our discontent.
I know. Actually, you will be happy to hear that one of our news lightning round questions does indeed involve Congressman Wiener. So,
all right.
Yeah. I know, and I even had a little side game that was about Wiener headlines, but we'll see if we get to that or not. So,
we're going to make like 12-year-olds here.
Yeah, we're going to act like 12-year-olds. We're going to be very sophomoric in our humor, and so if you don't want to listen to that, I'd suggest you click off your radios now. Thank you. In the meantime, we are going to go to break, and we will be right back. Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Guy Who Wants His Own Paranormal TV Show.
Mr. Guy Who Wants His Own Paranormal Show.
You wear your beans with pride and your t-shirt three sizes too small, even though you have the body of a 98-pound video game nerd. Every location you visit may have a gift shop and thousands of visitors, but somehow you still get possessed by something evil.
You're dragging me straight to hell.
It may look like a bug to the rest of the world, but to you it's a demonic orb, and it wants to eat your soul.
Ah!
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Overly Dramatic. Your acting may not be all that great, but you sure look awesome every time you see yourself in the mirror.
It's the guy who wants his own paranormal show.
Budweiser beer, and it's your voice, Sandalwood.
Paranormal Underground presents the adventures of the world's most fascinating paranormal investigator.
He never gets possessed by demons. He possesses them. Even angels line up to eat his soul. Native American burial grounds want him to build his home on top of them. God often ponders if he exists. Even Disney got in on the action. They built the Haunted Mansion just so he would come investigate it. He is the world's most fascinating paranormal investigator.
I don't always have time to listen to the radio, but when I do, it's Paranormal Underground Radio.
Be fascinating. Listen to Paranormal Underground Radio on ztalkradio.com. Thursdays from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern.
Stay spooky, my friends.
Hi, this is Nick Redfern, and you're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back, and welcome to the juvenile section of our show, where we are going to make like teenage boys. And I'm sorry, it's because I have a teenage boy, I suppose, and that's what I hear most of the time in my house is, that's what she said, your mom, and things of that ilk. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to do the lightning round. And for Barry and Jeff, let me explain the lightning round really quickly to you. It's pretty simple. I have 9 things from the headlines, and I'm going to ask a question related to those things from the headlines. And I just want you guys to answer my question in 1 or 2 sentences, and I'll tell you when it's your turn. So you guys think you're down for that?
I'm ready.
Well, we're ready, as we're ever.
All right. So my first one is just my favorite, absolute favorite story, not because of the story itself, but because of the name involved, because I am, as I explained, a teenage boy. So my husband Jim and I have been having a lot of, and I actually said, a lot of sophomoric fun at the news copy that we've been reading about Congressman Wiener's recent troubles. So I've seen some of the best news copy ever, and I don't know if it's intentional or if they just can't help it. So, for instance, Yahoo had a headline that said, Democrats shun Wiener. And then on the radio yesterday, we heard a headline, or we heard somebody say, Wiener is hoping to stick it out. I know. So I'm going to give you the chance to be the amusing news copywriter, and I would like you to come up with your own Wiener headline, and we'll start with Rick.
I kind of like alluded to it earlier, but it's something like, and now is the Wiener of his discontent.
Very good. Cheryl, do you have a Wiener headline?
I do, but I just have to put a disclaimer out there that anyone who is offended easily or doesn't like crude jokes, turn down the volume. Please.
Or just go away.
Please.
Don't go
or
away.
Or just go away. Okay. We'll
so,
go with that.
Wiener headline, Cheryl.
Public gets down on Wiener.
Whoa! Very good. Ooh, so, nice. Jeff, do you think you're ready with your Wiener headline, Jeff?
I'm drawing a blank. I've seen so many of them.
Okay.
Go ahead, Barry.
Barry, you have a Wiener headline?
I do, and you know, I'm gonna be honest, because I think it's been floating around in different formulas, but my own basically that there is an X-rated Wiener photo that you can find on the web.
Yeah, find your X-rated Wiener photo.
Chad, as reported by the New York Post.
That's right.
It's an X-rated Wiener photo.
Chad, do you have a Wiener headline?
Wiener chicken dinner.
That's the best. Oh, that's the best one yet.
Chad wins the sophomoric award.
Oh, the master. So, Jeff, are you still blank? Or?
No, I'm not. I'm not. How about the disgrace over the congressman's wiener?
Oh, very good. So, if we can speed through this lightning round, we will come back to Congressman Wiener, because we have a second game if we have time. That's right, a second game, and it's all Wiener all the time. Okay, so here's the next lightning round question. There was a news story for a few minutes this week, and Rick and I talked about it at the top of the hour, that there were 30 bodies buried on a property in Texas. It turned out that the cops had acted on a tip from a psychic, and it was widely reported on the national news just for a few minutes, and then it was more widely reported that apparently it was a fraud. It was a false report. There were no bodies. So I want to know whether you think this is going to affect whether the law enforcement chooses to work with psychics. And Rick, I'm not going to ask you, because we already talked about it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I address this one first?
Yes.
All right. Being retired law enforcement myself, I don't think it's going to affect anything.
Okay.
What I think is going to happen is that law enforcement's just going to be a little bit more selective of what they let, quote unquote, leak out to the press.
Ah, very good. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what do you think, Barry?
Well, if we're just discussing this as it comes, I think the police might be a little more careful about what they release to the press and how they got their information. That would be probably the best way to go.
Okay. All right, Chad.
Well, if you believe a certain site online, it basically means all psychics are now liars and cheats. I mean, I don't know why it does, but you know, if they say it, then gosh darn it, it must be true.
Yeah, right.
You know what site I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Cheryl?
No, I personally don't think that one isolated case or even two or three will affect how police work with psychics, because I pretty much think if they have a relationship established with a psychic currently, it's probably working for them.
Okay. Mm. All right. And Rick, do you want to add anything? I'll give you the opportunity if you want.
Yeah, I was, you know, I said at the top of the show that I really don't think that psychics should work with law enforcement, only because if their impressions are wrong or, basically wrong, it gives people some false hope. Like with the whole Sylvia Brown thing, she was like, oh, well, your kid's dead and he's in water. Well, no, he's not. He's tied up in this sicko pervert's basement 2 or 3 blocks away from your house.
Right.
So I don't think that's a good idea.
Okay, so I'm thinking of starting a Girl Power Paranormal group. All girls, all paranormal investigators, all the time. Here's the name I've come up with. Girls, Guns, and Ghosts. I want to know if you've got a better name for me. Chad, I know you do, so let's start with you.
Well, I was thinking of maybe Pink Justice or something.
Okay. Rick?
Boobs, Broads, and Spirits.
Oh, yes, very good. Barry, have you got one for us?
Estrogen Entity Searchers of America.
Oh, too bad it couldn't be something like EEK, eek, because that's what girls would say.
Oh, when... there we go.
Oh, Barry, or no, you're Barry. Jeff, I'm sorry.
I plead the Fifth Amendment.
Okay, Cheryl.
Oh, sorry. I think definitely it should be something that includes the word taser in the name.
Because I have a pink taser. It's true. I do. I know. Okay. So, let's see here.
Jeff, we've got to brush up on our skills, man.
We're getting the failed. Sydney Morning Herald is reporting that Australia's X-Files have gone missing. I want to know, do you think that there's... I can't read what I wrote. Oh, my gosh. Hang on. It was behind my Skype window. Do you think there's any significance to the fact that these UFO files are missing, Barry?
Wow. Well, the Australian government, I didn't think that they were as tight-lipped about it all as the American government, so yeah. I don't know. That's beyond my knowledge of what goes on halfway around the world, admittedly.
True, yes. Hmm. So what do you think about it, Jeff?
I think it's – I've read this and I've heard about this. I think it's very well-placed that this happened now, that all of a sudden mm-hmm. they've disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
It's another government that has come out and said, sure, we'll do this. Now all of a sudden, oh, sorry, it's missing.
Right, I know it.
How do you misplace official government documents like that?
I don't know. So what do you think, Chad?
It sounds like the Aussies need to hire a good secretary.
Yeah, really. They're not called secretaries anymore. They're called administrative assistants.
Okay, one of those.
All right. So,
PC
Rick?
Term.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. Australia has been tight-lipped, but New Zealand hasn't. So it's kind of surprising that they haven't gone after New Zealand's UFO files, because they've kept quite a bit, and they're pretty open about it.
Yeah, good point. So, Cheryl, what do you think?
I'm going to agree with Jeff. I think it's a government cover-up.
Okay. All right. So this one I had to put in there because it has an Italian name and I love to say things and sound Italian. Spaghetti. So an Italian art expert claims that the Shroud of Turin. Oh, I wrote it as the Shroud of Turin. Sorry. The Shroud of Turin was actually created by the famous artist Giotto, according to the Daily Mail. The expert claims it's a copy of the actual item and it contains hidden messages that outline its origin. So it sounds to me like that art expert has been reading too much Dan Brown and what was the book with all the art with the hidden messages?
Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, the Da Vinci Code. So I want to know what you think the Shroud of Turin is, Cheryl.
Sorry. Trying to get the mute button to work. I think I heard that based on recent tests, it's not old enough to be the correct religious item that was correct originally claimed to be. So mm-hmm. at this point, the evidence is leaning against a religious shroud.
Okay, so what do you think it is, Jeff?
Well, I've heard that, I agree with her, but I heard that the spot that they tested it on was a spot that was repaired because mm-hmm. the shroud was involved in a fire or something like that, and they repaired it. They patched it. And I heard that the spot that they tested was not the actual, the old spot. It was one of the newer spots that they tested.
Okay. All right. So, Barry?
Well, I think that there's a shroud over the shroud's truth.
Oh, very good. Ooh,
very good.
Ooh, Chad.
An enigma and a conundrum.
Yes. Chad.
I bet you $100 it's a burial shroud.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to bet you $100, but okay. And Rick, you get the final word on the shroud of, as I have typed it, turn.
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 Well, considering the fact that Jesus may have been an extraterrestrial, it's a possibility that when they were beaming him aboard to heal his broken body, that it left his imprint on the shroud.
Okay.
Wow.
And now that I've completely offended any Christians who are listening to the show right now.
But
yes.
How could you, Rick?
Were you going to add to that, or did you just
want... No. I'm totally joking. I really don't know what it is. Yeah. I'm not an art history person. I really don't even... Much so, I really don't know.
So, I have my absolute favorite question of the evening, other than the wiener question, but that's just because I like to say the word wiener. So, the Telegraph is reporting that there's a man who purchased a 16-foot cabin cruiser and called it the Titanic II. Guess what happened when he took it out on its maiden voyage? Can any of you guess? Yeah. It sank.
I don't know where this is coming from.
Yes. So the name, it seems, was an owner and was an omen, and the owner ignored it. I want to know, have you ever had an omen that you ignored and it later came back to bite you in the butt? And I think we're going to start with Rick.
To be honest with you, I've never had anything like that happen. Never.
How about you, Chad?
Yes. Well, the day before I got married, something told me not to get married. And, sure enough, 17 years later, I got divorced.
So. 17 years of being bitten in the butt.
I'm an optimist.
So, Cheryl, have you had an omen that you ignored?
No, I never ignore omens, so I'm always good.
Oh, okay. So, Jeff, how about you?
Yes, I have. To reiterate, it was a marriage. My father-in-law walked up right before the wedding and patted me on the back and said, good luck.
Oops.
We're divorced now.
Yeah. So how about you, Barry? Have you ignored something that you shouldn't have?
Yes, I did. And, it's kind of a downer in a way, but it is the truth. My great-grandfather, when my father was in utero, my great-grandfather, as in his father, was killed in the war. When I was in utero, my father died of cancer. And when we were pregnant with my daughter, I was diagnosed with cancer. When I found that out, and they also actually stated that overall, had I not been diagnosed, had I been diagnosed a little later, I probably wouldn't be talking to you guys right now. So tell you what, watch out for those omens.
Yeah, holy cow. Okay, so I just in Skype got a request to play our second game, which Jeff is calling Wiener One-Liners. I was calling it Headline Response. So here's how it works. I have picked my favorite Wiener headlines from the news because they're just so great. And then I've given my response to them, my one-line response, and I'd like to give you guys the opportunity to have a response too. So for instance... the first headline, West says Wiener should go. And my response to that is, try turning on the faucet. It usually helps. So, with the Wiener one-liner, let's start with Rick.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Rick's ghost walked up behind him.
Yeah. Well, I had to pause because I thought I heard Theodore crying.
Oh, okay.
Wiener
one-liner is, West says Wiener should go.
I got nothing.
Oh, does anybody have something for that?
I do.
Okay,
I do.
Go.
Wiener up for a tough ride.
anybody else have a Wiener one-liner for West says Wiener should go?
I think Wiener needs to stop whining.
Oh, very good. Okay.
I have another one. Wiener stands firm, won't quit.
Oh. okay, so...
I got one.
Okay, yeah.
Wiener quit spewing that crap.
Wiener what?
Quit spewing that crap.
Oh, God.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Chad,
so
for that.
Did we? I'm sorry, we forgot the warning. Okay, so here's my next one, and it's sort of along the lines of what Jeff said, but Wiener hopes to stick it out, and my one-liner for that is, that's what glory holes are for. Anyone?
Wiener gets emotional on stand.
Okay. That's what she said.
Anybody else have a Wiener one-liner for that one?
I don't know. Wiener seeks reach around from
constituents. Wiener seeks to reach around Republican resistance.
Yes! There we go.
Collaboration and action.
We're best friends because we're a team.
Yeah.
Wiener exposes self, comes forth with sticky details.
Okay, so...
We are so getting kicked off.
I know. Okay. So this is actually another one of my favorite Wiener things. This is an actual headline I saw. Clinton's peeved by Wiener. Now, my one-liner is, yeah, this is old news. They've been peeved by Wiener since Lewinsky. Anyone?
Irate wife reportedly cuts off Wiener.
Oh. Anyone else?
Wiener... No.
I have one, Karen.
Okay.
Okay, the Clintons should have learned by now that there's always room for Wiener.
Oh, good one. Good one.
Ooh, Wiener one-liners. Nice. Rick thinks this is going to cost us a show. This is it. It's finally over for us.
It's not your fault that we are shooting blanks these days.
Okay, let's see.
It could be a good time for that that warning.
Petty, here's another one that's really good. Pressure grows for Wiener.
Yeah.
My one-liner is, that's weird. Usually Wiener grows under pressure. So, one. Next.
I got one.
Who had one?
Wiener has evidence. Problem. I don't know. I got nothing. Damn.
Chad.
There she blows.
Oh, anybody else?
I'm blank.
Oh, so's Wiener.
Oh,
this poor guy.
Evidence against Wiener swells.
Oh, you know what I think? I think we should be writing the news. Okay, guys, that's the end of our Wiener one-liners because we just have a few minutes left. I wanted to give you guys the opportunity to give our listeners who are still with us, which are probably like two of them, any information. We should have done this before the Wiener one-liners. So sorry. So anyway, I would like to give you guys the opportunity to provide any information that those remaining need to know about you, websites, that type of thing. Oh, from the chat room, Wiener's got a lot of balls. Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, ooh,
nice. Everybody like that.
Yes.
Everybody,
Wiener comes to Clinton's defense. Oh my God.
Jeff, do you mind if I jump in for a second?
Go ahead, Barry.
I'm so sorry.
You know, as far as the wrap up here, because I know Jeff has a wrap up plan, but just everybody stay tuned with TGF.tv because we have now three different extended pieces, documentary type of films that are coming out of Arizona from mining towns, and you're in for some sweet delivery from TGF.tv in the fall. We're very excited about that. So
I'm excited.
We really are excited about the investigations and the opportunities that we have coming on. And Jeff, do your thing.
Well, everybody could just go to the website, www.tgaph.tv. We've got two of our Globe documentary trailers up there. The forums are still up. We're getting ready to close down the forums just because they're such a pain.
Mm-hmm.
But sign up. It's set up just like Facebook and the Phenomena Cafe. Resembles it quite a bit. You can start your own groups. You can do your own discussions, all that kind of good stuff. Look for us on Facebook. Barry and I are both on Facebook. TGAF.TV Facebook page also. We're out there. If anybody has any questions, any comments, any bitches, gripes, complaints, take those to Barry.
Yeah. Wonderful.
And anything else? If you got any praises, come and tell me.
Did you get the radio show in there?
Oh, yes. And we've got a radio show on Blog Talk Radio. And I want to say something about that really quick. I don't know how long we're going to be on Blog Talk anymore because they're really having some serious problems. So we're looking for another hint, 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 hint. It's TGAF TV Radio. We do it every week. We've changed it to Wednesday nights. Our next guest is Kathy from Parachallenge Radio. So that's going to be a really, really good show. And also we have a thing coming up. We're going to be doing a charity event in conjunction with the Red Cross. We're going to get everybody involved. And Karen and Rick, we're going to get you guys right in the middle of it, too.
Very good.
We want everybody involved in it. It's time that the paranormal community gets the credit for what we're doing.
Yes. So okay. We're there. You let us know what we can do.
Well, we're doing our own. It's going to be para relief. It's everything Red Cross. We've got our own specific website for it. They're setting that up for us right now. And just, you know, that's about it. We've got our hands in a lot of different pies right now.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, and cool. if you guys need to get into a little vehicle and you drive on up here to Washington so that I can take you to my very favorite haunted place.
I can't say no to that.
Well, if you guys are over in Chicago,
serious.
Look me up.
I'm very serious. You know, you guys need to come up here. I don't know if I can send you a copy of my book about it, but it's awesome.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, please definitely. Do. And yep. Rick, also, you know, Chicago, I'm not turning that one down either. So
yeah, look me up when you guys come, if you guys ever come here.
We're going to start bulldozing our way all over this country. So.
Groovy. Okay, guys, I hate to do this because this has been fun. You guys were great sports, especially with the wiener one-liners. So, thank you.
Well,
we just
keep them coming.
That's right. thank you so much for coming on. And
yes, thanks, guys.
Thank you for having us so much.
Paranormal Underground Radio on Z Talk Radio.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Z Talk Radio Network.